I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 477's After Show. Well, he's trying to keep up with us. Ryan Schweberger picks up another win this weekend. We're at 477, and he moves to 384.
Yeah.
Another win for Schwebby.
He's got us by seven.
Another win.
It's harder for us to catch up if he keeps playing. We only do
one. Dude, we're going to have extra shows.
That's right.
Every weekend he wins, we're going to have an extra show just to make sure we stay that much more ahead of him. But
can we make more Tuesdays?
Yes, that sounds like a good idea. Making the most of it as I'm on the PDGA page. Saw Alden Harris along with Isaac Robinson taking a little trip to Spain.
I did see that.
Looks like fun, along with Sapu Payu. Taking in a little action over there in Spain, mentioning their first time being there. Pretty cool.
Well, considering I think this year was their first time overseas at the European Open, that, yes, it would make sense that this was their first time to Spain.
Yeah, but it's a fair question to also follow up with and say, like, why? Is this continued Prodigy negotiations?
I'm assuming it ties into to Prodigy with Seppo and the Prodigy Tour and everything that's going on over there.
Okay. I hope they have a good time. I don't have quite the right meme for it, and I probably won't get around to making it. And it's splitting hairs, maybe getting a little bit almost petty, but I guess that's the point of a meme, right? There is a lot of players who post and or have claimed, like Ricky last week. Excited for the offseason. Can't wait for the offseason. Give my body a break, all these things. Refill the mental well, take some time off. Also, a lot of our top players, oh, here I am playing another course. Like, and I get it, it's casual, it's a totally different vibe. I'm not suggesting our players don't go out and play disc golf in the off season. I'm not suggesting anything of the sort.
I think that's exactly what you're suggesting.
And I just found it funny because I feel like so many of our players rightfully have been saying, hey, I'm tired. I'm beat down. I'm ready to be done. And then I think of seeing Alden and Isaac in Spain, which is awesome cultural experience. It's not just about the disc golf, of course, but playing in Spain. I saw Adam Hamas posting today out there on a course playing. There was one or two of our other top pros that I saw out there playing in like a casual round. I get it. Casual is not the same, and they're not practicing for a tournament. It's just funny when you hear so many of them say, like, I'm done. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to curl up with a blanket and a coffee like Kristen.
Kristen's got it
and
right.
She's doing it right. And others are like, I'm out here getting some golf in. Thought it was kind of funny. What else have we seen on the internets? If you have any other topics or questions or conversation pieces, please make sure you go ahead and put them into the YouTube chats. We can try and directly react or answer those. As Johnny does a quick search, I want to say a couple things. One, I saw a release this morning as a Prodigy dealer. I saw a release this morning that Prodigy has aligned with the or has gotten licensing rights to eventually all of the NHL teams. So you're going to see some NHL co-branded or branded NHL related discs and stuff that they're working on.
Who has that?
Prodigy.
Cool.
So if you're an NHL guy, which neither Johnny nor I are, very cool. I saw Gavin Babcock specifically say this is awesome. So obviously any NHL fans out there, if you love the crossover, the tie-in, kind of cool. We haven't seen that done. I mean, earlier this year, we saw Discmania get official licensing, unlike most of the illegals, get official licensing with the Grateful Dead earlier this year. We've seen, of course, Discraft do it with Star Wars and Disney and whatever.
DD had it with Marvel.
Marvel.
Yeah.
So we've seen things of this nature, but I think this is one of, I feel, I have no idea what the pricing of that looks like or what any of that entails, any other details or obligations. But nonetheless, it crossed my desk or my inbox this morning. I was just going to see if I had it in front of me. But yeah, something that's going to be available. So if you love that crossover, it is the NHL Collection. They announce a multi-year licensing agreement with the NHL to become the first disc golf partner of the NHL. Prodigy will produce branded discs featuring the league and all 32 team marks in Canada and the U.S.
So if you're a huge Avalanche fan, so to speak, you could probably get a disc with the Avalanche.
So I thought that was pretty cool, certainly of note for anyone out there. And I completely, speaking of avalanches and mountains, one of our smashies who was out there on the board, Mike Jewell, reached out to me today, and I saw he also chatted on here tonight, is doing the Pacific Coast Trail, PCT, you nor I knew anything about until I Googled it. Essentially, it looks like you start just above the northern border of, Washington, you're in Canada, and you pretty much walk all the way down to Mexico.
That's a long walk. Couple weeks?
5.5 months is like average. 2,600 miles, roughly.
I was thinking 6 to 8 weeks, but no, wow.
Yeah, 5.5 months, ooh. I think I read is the average. Now I'm an expert because I searched around on the website for 10 minutes, but you have to apply for a permit and some passes and da-da-da-da, and there's obviously good times of year, bad times of year, all that other stuff. But Mike Jewell, who has done some commentary with me, he runs a YouTube channel and does some coverage and such. I saw him having a rummage sale a week ago. I don't know. Anybody can have a rummage sale for any given reason.
Thanks for giving your permission.
But I'm just saying, and I didn't think that much of it. And now I'm putting a few more things together of, hey, he's really trying to liquidate probably because I don't think he's taken that half-used or that half-put-together monopoly with him on his journey across
the
Western coast. So, Mike, whenever you go, which I think you said would be a few months yet, best of luck to you.
Best of luck. You were talking about NHL. We can talk a little about MLB as well, just as a reference. Diamondbacks. We got a lot of players. Ricky was at the Diamondbacks game yesterday, I believe.
Okay.
Or was it 2 days ago?
I don't know.
I mean, I think it was on Saturday as he was there because he watched the loss, unfortunately. But Diamondbacks end up winning the final two games to get into the World Series where they're going to be playing the Texans.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, so that's
so our World Series.
Texans, Texas Rangers. I was thinking football. How old am I?
Woo!
Yeah, the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, they've been the Rangers for a little while.
For a long time. Like a long, long time, Terry, mm-hmm. Since we were kids.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because when you think of the Texas Rangers, who do you put in your head?
There's only one.
Nolan, right?
Yeah, Nolan Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only I couldn't name another one.
I don't think I could either.
Hernandez? No, Keith Hernandez didn't play for them. I know he was on the Mets forever, but who am I thinking of? The catcher, Mike, what's his name that ended up going to the Yankees
Mike Piazza?
Yeah, was he on the Texas Rangers at one point?
Hmm.
That's a random pull. If I'm right on that, that would be one hell of a pull.
He might have been.
Ivan
Rodriguez.
That's who I might have been thinking of.
Adrian Beltre. A-Rod was a shortstop for them for a while.
Yeah, for a while or for just once?
Like
for a minute?
Might have been just for a hot minute.
Yeah.
He was also an Appleton Fox.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Okay.
He was got to come out of the Foxes for a while.
No, I might have been thinking of
Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Who, to be fair, not too far different from era-wise and whatnot from like a Keith Hernandez, right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was getting
Julio Franco would be right up our alley.
Oh, yeah. I've got his rookie cards.
So do I.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. Yeah, again, for anyone screaming at either their podcast or the video, Johnny nor I had hardly any tie to Texas Rangers or Ranger history, Ranger anything, being in Wisconsin. No. Just there's so many other teams that I feel like there's like an indirect tie to. Texas Rangers, like, never.
Nope.
Like, in any capacity. Like, if I don't have a story tying to them, like, albeit obscure, then they definitely are not at the forefront of much that we were thinking about.
Yeah, the Rangers ended up beating the Astros. Mm. So it was in all Texas.
I think they're from Texas, too.
They are. If you count Houston as part of Texas.
I don't know what fight you're trying to drum up there. I don't either. You're going to.
I don't either. So, but yeah, so we got a bunch of probably happy disc golfers, because we got a large contingent
of course,
disc golfers. And AB actually has his jersey that's very much modeled after the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
I'm sure AB will probably be trying to score himself a World Series ticket.
Okay. I like it. Let's read. Dondo says, Texas Ranger, such an amazing disc. Love the Lone Star plastic. For me, it's the consistency.
It's just the consistency of the consistency.
Yeah.
Like, they're always consistent. It's the consistency of the
Speaking of which, and we kind of glossed over this earlier, one of the early and only off-season things we've already seen transpire,
yeah,
none other than Carter Aarons going to Lone Star. So
yeah, he announced a couple weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, that he was leaving DD, and then there was no word on where he was going, and it was just announced yesterday or the day before, or maybe it was late
a couple days ago, at least,
that he's going to Lone Star. So I hope, now he's still relatively young. I think he's still under 18.
Yeah.
So I don't know what his touring life is going to be, unless he can maybe do similar to maybe what Gannon did, do some remote school, and who knows. But I think it's a good grab from Lone Star. He's a very young and up-and-coming kid. He's already proven that he can play with the best of them. It's a consistency factor now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you want to go somewhere, go to Lone Star for consistency. It says so in their commercials. Yeah, so Carter Aarons going to Lone Star. I mean, not much to say. We'll see what his touring life looks like. This could be a big nothing burger for a year or two. But
yeah, I mean, it's all predicated on how much he competes and plays,
exactly,
right? That's what you're saying. I agree. You know, if we see him out there playing in 25 events, obviously it's a lot more impactful than, you know, if he stays largely regional and local to the Pacific Northwest. Although he could be a superstar there, it will be less impactful versus seeing him at more and more events. All right. Yeah, threw a penny putter 400. I don't care what the putter is. He could throw a stack of pennies, or he could throw a whole roll of pennies or quarters 400 feet probably.
That kid,
if it was if it was taped to the top of a disc. I'm not sure that it really matters, the disc whatsoever. No. And specifically, that's one thing that I think he's really leaned into that he loves, is throwing putters a mile. Like, he likes to throw big drives, mm-hmm, but like specifically being able to throw a putter a mile is a pretty,
it's a fun skill.
Yeah, not that we would know, but it could be fun.
I think I got a putter over 300 once. Not in the last decade, it feels like.
Downhill.
Well, with a tailwind.
And your Bushnell might have been off.
I didn't have Bushnell back then. Are you kidding me? That's not how I rolled. I paced that thing off.
Yeah, you did.
Every step
my
was 5 feet.
My steps or yours? Yeah.
Every step was 5 feet.
All right. What else do we have on the board? I'm going to try and see if there's anything else. I'm sorry, reading some of the things off the board. If you guys have any other questions, you're welcome to throw it in
the chat, and we can kind of go from there. There hasn't, again, like we said, not a lot of news. I think we're going to see a couple quiet weeks before we really start to see announcements coming from players on where they're going. And some won't even announce till after the beginning of the year. I believe we're supposed to see an announcement about the European tour in the next couple days, maybe the next week. I think that now that the finale is over, the European tour, the ET finale, I have a feeling that that's going to probably roll out relatively soon. You know, that could be a day, that could be a week, but I bet we're going to see something like that come from the PDGA and the Euro Tour, as well as maybe the DGPT.
Yeah, I think that's definitely some of the biggest news that is to come any day now.
Still waiting.
Is what we're going to see for other events and how they're going to react. You know, we've seen us go in really hard on, you know, PCS being a silver event, then last year being an elite event, and just events like that of growing and thriving. We saw it, you know, as the Euro Tour wrapped up just this last weekend, where there's a chance for growth and where there's going to be some consolidation. I mean, there's clearly some differing opinions as to how to go about promoting high-level European golf in the best possible ways, whether that's the extent of the tours themselves, the number of the tours, the collaboration among any given events, post-production, live production. Like, there are a lot of variables as we're all kind of testing the waters for those different events and those different scenarios. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I hope that that Europe can get their act together, and if they continue to have the two separate tours, coordinate them better so we see less overlap. That's kind of my hope, that the Euro Tour and the European Pro Tour find a way to collaborate so we have a more unified European tour. I don't know what the plan is, but...
Any UN treaties to sign or anything?
I don't believe in any UN treaties.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And that's what I think. It's a matter of like people still establishing themselves, but then finding their own way, but yet differentiating. And then when do you want to play nice and collaborate? And when are you like, no, I got this, whether that's ego or schedule constraint. Like, obviously, we always talk about what it means to have a schedule here. Clearly, when you're talking about a number of neighboring countries all trying to play nice, different organizations, different philosophies, there's so much that has to go into that. I don't envy their task at all. Matej and I think of Guru, I think of Brian Graham, I think of just all the people at play. I don't envy those headaches whatsoever.
I can't even imagine.
So hopefully, like you said, we'll see some announcements and some big things. I think I'm going to have a big announcement sometime around next week too, unrelated, but that's the best tease you're going to get on that.
All right.
Hayes Dude writes, Terry, huge fan. Thank you. Did you agree with Brian Earhart's take on rangefinders on the Foundation podcast? He thinks they should only be allowed for practice rounds. I feel as if, for short answer is yes. I could get on board with that. Longer answer is, I think that worm is out of the can or the genie's out of the bottle, and we're not putting it back in. There is...
I disagree. I think something like this, you could...
You could. I just don't think it's going to be easy. And I'm not saying anyone's a cheater. However, there with technology, it is so easy to give us that information now and to acquire it and to display it and to offer it that... If somebody wanted to circumvent or skirt around rules, it's easier. It would be easier than ever before. And our last guest just said it. He said, we're going to add distance to the pin on the watch so it just pops up. Whether it's a glance, whether it's a phone, whether it's intentional or not, it's just going to be, it's so easy for those things to happen. Would I be okay if it was... If it wasn't allowed or if it was abolished or banned or whatever? Absolutely. I mean, Johnny and I are of the time frame in which rangefinders, albeit not common or nearly as accessible as they are today, they were never allowed. They weren't allowed until just a few years ago. You explicitly could not use them on the course. And then they became legal. And that's, I just think with technology and what GPSing has done and what watches and phones and other just other random devices in inclusive of updating rangefinders and making those easier and cheaper and more accessible. I think it's really tough. I'd be okay though if they were not allowed. I'd be totally good with it.
I would be okay with that if for whatever reason, but you also have to look at what type of impact is Bushnell having on the sport. If it was suddenly outlawed during rounds, does that hurt the sponsorship? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Who are we beholden to, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, and like you said, it's almost impossible to now basically
eliminate, eradicate,
regulate this. Because regulate. Like you said, we have, if I'm sitting on my phone, you don't know if I'm playing Bejeweled. You don't know if I'm playing
Bedazzled
or
Feng Jangled.
Sure.
You love all those.
Things, all of those things. Or if I have UDisc open, if I have a little map open, if I'm sitting on the tee, I know I threw that tree. If I look and or I walk up, it's not, like you said, it's on your watch. You glance and it says, all right, you know, 380 to the pin. Okay. You at this point, I feel like it's just too difficult with all the other technology that's out there. Would it be great if we had like these cool caddy books and you went out beforehand, your practice round, and you were lasering different trees so you knew where they were and you're writing them in a little caddy book and or taking notes on your phone and your little notepad? Sure, all that would be wonderful. I have, other than the extra time it takes, I really don't have a problem with the rangefinders these days. And as Hayes Dude and Boogers both say, that AirPods need to go as well. No, they don't. Like, everybody has the right to wear AirPods to avoid distractions. That's fine. And then Max says, no sellies on the course. That's how we keep score. Literally, that's how you keep score now.
Well,
PDGA Live and UDisc.
And that's where I'm thinking we go to, let's just play pretend as money, and we go to an extreme or not. Each group issued two dummy phones that give you cellular, but can only do the scoring apps. I'm just throwing it out there. This isn't that crazy.
It's not that crazy.
It's not likely, but it's also not crazy.
I think we're years away from that. But
you show up to the course, and now let's say all four, you're issued four phones, because we'll say Verizon is a sponsor. The group is issued four phones, and essentially it's locked down, like maybe either a kid phone or if you're going to a library, it's locked down, and basically all it can get you to is PDGA Live and UDisc. Those are the two things that you can access.
And so you can't bring your
cell phone? And you can't bring your cell phone. You can't bring your device.
I mean, if it went that way, I would have no problem with it. I don't think it's going to.
I don't either.
Like, but I feel like you're just, it's, you know, there's no, I don't see a reason for it. I know people are saying things like, it's unfair because it's a distraction. It helps distract you from distractions or keep your mind off the game. And, you know, you should be able to, great. Does that mean I can't bring a Sudoku book with me and sit and do Sudoku to keep track of? Do I need to be focused literally on my golf the entire 18 holes? I can't think or do anything else. I believe it's a silly reason. And I'm not saying that those guys on our board are particularly saying it, but I know I've heard that, you know, oh, cell phones are, you know, they help you from distraction. It's not fair. You're wearing earbuds when, you know, because you can listen to music and block out noise. Cool. I could put earplugs in too. Do you eliminate those? How about headphones? Do we have, what if we have a particular player who's on the spectrum that needs to wear them? Is that not right for them as well? I just feel like trying to eradicate all these things that avoid distraction is just pushing us the wrong direction.
Well, because you could, like you said, you can extrapolate that out to so many different things, whether that's Sudoku or just bringing a book to read, because you know you're going to be sitting on a backup on holes 9 and 12.
You can only read the PDGA rulebook.
Magazine, yeah,
or magazine.
But not the digital version. You have to bring the actual hard copy with you. You know, like you said, or a crossword puzzle. I don't think they're yeah, or someone that says, well, like, yeah, I bring sunflower seeds. Those essentially are my distraction. I'm not bringing them for the nutrition. I'm bringing them for my nervous distraction, and that's why I eat and chew sunflower seeds. There's so many different ways. If you want to get really granular, you can really, like, extrapolate this out into so many other things. I don't know. Of course, anyone that's... we definitely believe in the situation that anyone that is then missing shots or is being oblivious to their card or a disruption to their card as a result of their headphones, obviously that should be addressed and or stroked or penalized, all those things. I don't think there's any debate about that. It's just a question of, you know, should you be allowed to even get anywhere near that in the first place? I don't know, but... yeah, if I have to say to you for the 13th time during the round, what's your score? Because you're listening to your earbuds too loudly. Yeah, at that point, it does, by then, it has certainly warranted a warning and or a courtesy violation.
Yeah, if you're not paying attention to your opponent's throws, if you are off in la-la land, that is already addressed in the rule book. You have to watch your competitor's throws. You have to be able to, you know, make rules callings and whatnot. But headphones, again, some people might consider it a competitive advantage. Others might not. Guess what? When I'm putting and that bass drops on my headphones just as I'm
drop,
putting, you know, that might be a distraction.
I mean, is it an advantage that I'm deaf in one ear?
Yes.
I mean, just to read it exactly as it says on the board, earbuds are definitely controversial if they're being used as a competitive advantage. Like, that entire phrase to me is just incredibly subjective, right? Like, if they're being used as a competitive advantage, what could that even mean? And what exactly is the competitive advantage? Because what could be the competitive advantage to one is a complete disadvantage to someone else. Like, some people can't stand any noise or music. I don't want to hear somebody else's music.
Yeah, that would be right? A courtesy, like, violation. If you can hear someone else's music.
I don't know. I understand there's, and I know this debate, by the way, just so everyone knows, this debate has been around for as long, at least as long as wireless earbuds, and I'm sure before that.
I remember playing Am Worlds in Minnesota with a gentleman who wore headphones. Like, he had a Walkman.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
I played with him. And he had his headphones on the whole time.
Dave Jewell in Madison had his headphones on all the time. This dates back 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. 25 years ago. Yeah, he had just had a Walkman.
It's obviously much more...
prevalent much because more, of...
because of wireless headphones. Because a lot of people didn't like the wire. And I remember wearing wired headphones, and mm-hmm. I'd run the wire through under my shirt.
Yeah, so plenty of people did.
So it wouldn't get in the way. But usually, just, you know, for casual rounds, I didn't usually use them, because most of the time, if I'm at a tournament, I'm there so rarely anymore, I kind of want to sit and chat with people. And I do think it's funny, because I think if I played a lot of tournaments in a year, I could then feel like it would be more comfortable for me to wear headphones once in a while. But with as few tournaments as I play, I feel like it's almost rude to wear headphones when you're sitting around with a card. I like to sit at the hole, maybe write a backup, chat a little bit. That's fine. But also, I don't see a lot of these guys very often. Now, if I saw them every single weekend in and out, maybe I would want to wear headphones and not have to listen to Steve Feld again.
I was just going to say, is it a competitive advantage when you're on a card and there's three people that are relatively silent and just don't talk a lot? And then we've all been on a card where someone doesn't shut the F up. They're just a very overly talkative person, and they mean no ill will. It's just them. How is it fair that first round I'm on a card with that guy who doesn't shut up, and you're on a card with three people who hardly speak, and make it a much more laid back, casual round? Like, you just get into so many splitting of hairs, and you further split hairs. And I'm not picking on you, Hayes, dude. But you say noise canceling. All right. I mean, are we getting into some elitist conversation about, well, you have the $119 AirPods, and I can only afford the $48, you know, knockoff brand. Mine don't have air, you know, noise canceling. And like, we're just really starting to split a lot of hairs.
Now, the one
in
way,
my opinion,
the one way I could see, and someone brings it up on the board, the reasoning for this would be safety.
Sure.
Because you do need to warn. I mean, you should warn someone if you're throwing it towards them. I don't believe it's anywhere in the book that you have to yell for if you have an errant shot. I don't believe there's anywhere in the rule book that says you need to warn someone. It's common courtesy. For safety reasons, if you have an errant throw that you think is going to hit somebody, maybe you give a yell out, but I don't believe it's anywhere in the rules. But it is a safety issue. I could understand if...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If that approach were taken, but also if you're in a situation where your tee box might somehow get an errant drive, it's still on you to be paying attention.
No.
You know, you can't be out there oblivious. Mm. I mean, we've seen plenty of people get hit by discs for years.
That were paying attention.
That were paying attention, yeah.
I don't know. Again, the debate will rage on. Those are two of the probably most discussed topics, I feel like, sure. Right now. Rangefinders and earbuds,
and they have
of some
been
core
for the last four
of some
or 5 years.
Yeah, I think of so many different ways that you get a similar result that may not be something physically in your ear that may or may not then come across as fair. And I think of the talkative players. I get a lot of talkative players. You know, when you're out there playing, and I think it sometimes can depend even on who's on your card, right? If you have a high profile player on your card, and then two or three other not so high profile players, that high profile player probably has to sit and listen to a lot of other things that get said, right? Like a million questions get asked, things of that nature. There's a lot of different ways that I think you could look at it, and I'm not completely dismissing it, but. I just think it's very complex is a good way to look at it. Darren says one earbud is good. Like I said, until I put the one earbud in my good ear and my right ear is essentially deaf.
I'll be the first to stroke you, bro.
Yeah, you will. Anyway, Cap and Moist Beard. I'm not sure to what seriousness, but said Terry about to sweep the Special Olympics for being deaf in one ear. No, but let me just as a quick backstory. I'm good friends with a number of gentlemen who are part of the deaf, the Wisconsin, that have either taught at or, helped out at the Wisconsin School for the Deaf. In fact, I helped put, baskets on their course, and the deaf disc golf community in the Midwest was thriving, significantly, and really a growing group of guys that are incredible. I still know a lot of them to this day, around 2005 through 2010. Mm-hmm. And they very much encouraged and said, I'm eligible to compete in their deaf national championships. I say there because I didn't consider myself as part of that club or as part of that group because I have the majority of my hearing. And again, they could argue, we could all argue about what was what. I didn't feel comfortable as I would have been at the time in one of my peak areas of my career, of playing career, almost 1,000 rated, and then seeing largely what the competition was, just ratings-wise, I felt like it would have, even if I was fully accepted and okayed, it didn't feel right going to compete in their deaf national championships. I would have been a favorite by a lot, and And that's not the only reason. I just don't, although I'll jokingly mention my lack of hearing in my right ear, because it's not something I'm
what if you put a noise
mad or offended about it. But it's not something I really lean into in any other serious capacity, and I have garnered no other advantage from in any other capacity.
It's also why you can always notice why Terry's on the specific side during interviews.
Yes, I am always on what would be just like here, even though we're wearing headphones in this case. I'm always going to be on the
I don't even have
my right, and as you're looking from a camera, I would be on the left, and that's 100% by intention.
Coffee on Corban has a hypothetical.
Uh-oh.
A player's first rating after their first tournament is 984.
Okay.
Should he keep playing MA1 since for his lack of experience, or move to MPO because of his rating?
I mean, was the 984, was that a typical day for them?
It's a little subjective.
It's 100% subjective for that reason.
I personally think, given this scenario, you stick playing with MA1 for a few events. If it's your first tournament, I think you should. I mean, did you win MA1? Because 984 isn't always winning MA1.
Not necessarily.
You know, we're seeing some maybe low 1,000 rated. I think you should probably stick with MA1 for a few events. And at that point, kind of take a look at your history. Do you feel like, oh, I'm always shooting 984? If you're always shooting 984, then maybe you might want to move up. Get a win. Learn how to win. Because, you know, we've heard it from numerous pros that you could be a 984 pro, but when you get in the position where you're in first or second place and you're chasing, that's a totally different feeling. Make sure you understand all the rules, that you're playing all the etiquette. Get a couple events under your belt in amateur before you play open. That's my particular take on it. Even if, you know what, I don't care if you came out and shot 1,000 rated your first round, your first event. It don't matter. I think MA1 is the right position based on experience for at least 3-4 events.
Yeah, and I was going to follow that up and say, did you shoot a 986 and a 982? That's how your rating arrived at 984, kind of proving where that consistency came from? Or did you shoot 1,020 and then whatever you'd have to shoot to negate that, I don't know, 960? 940? What, I mean, you do the math.
No.
You know what I mean. How did you arrive at that? That may or may not. Again, one day, that's just too small of a sample size in general. I feel like unless something was just wildly, you know, you hit every possible putt and you played out of your mind, or you played absolutely terrible for, you know, 34 out of 36 holes, and that's how you arrived at those ratings. One day is just one little snapshot. I don't know that necessarily defines anything, but like Johnny said, it wouldn't be crazy for you to go play another event or two maybe to see if that's roughly where you level out at, and if you're comfortable with that. And then you have goals as to, yeah, I want to learn how to win. I want to learn how to play under pressure, or have you been practicing so long, just not playing tournaments, and now you feel like you're ready for the, you know, for the big time?
Well, he said, it was a typical day, and I did play more MA1, but my rating tanked to 956.
So you probably did the right thing.
By far the highest in the field.
Well, so you did the right thing.
Yeah.
You did, I mean, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I believe.
Because if you're down to 956, that tells me you're not MPO
material yet.
Bound or caliber at the moment.
956 for local may get you some bottom caches in MPO. Depending on your local field.
So MA1 is probably where you belong for at least a little while.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion. Now, you could counter, as everyone else does, and say, but I play better when I play with people that are better than me. Which statistically isn't really often true.
No.
But if the best players in the world always did that, then they'd never, they'd always just play worse. And statistically, that doesn't happen. But everybody says that.
I play better when I'm around better players.
You could learn more. You can.
90 some percent of golfers, I feel like, say that.
Sure. And that it might be true.
I think stats would tell you otherwise.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think you have any stats to back your stats up.
I do, because I once brought this up with Chuck Kennedy. because I was so sick of hearing people say that. And then I've always said, great. What does Ricky do when he's the highest rated guy on the card?
No one says it has to be the same way for every person.
But most golfers, that's my point, though, is almost all golfers. I'll go from most to almost all.
So I mean,
I play better when I play with better players.
So you don't
how
think,
often have you heard that?
You don't think
a million times?
I know we've had this discussion. You don't think that Ricky has more of a competitive drive to, when he's playing with Paul and Simon versus when he's playing with you and me? If we played a tournament, you and I got into a pro tour event, it was you, me, Ricky, and Captain Moistbeard. You don't think that you don't
you're questioning his skills?
I am, because I assume his name is Captain Moistbeard. You don't think that there is maybe a little more competitive drive in Ricky? Now, again, I've always said that's internal.
That's
on Ricky. If Ricky can't play his best game with three schlubs, then that's another thing. But that also is it mentally tougher for him to play when he's shooting 7, 8, 10 down and we're all shooting 8 over? Is that tougher for him mentally to be able to sit and wait longer than he would if he were playing in a more flow-like state when he's playing with a Simon and a double G and a Paul? 100%. It's not just the fact that, you know, somebody on my card is better, so I'm playing better. There is an internal competitive drive for people. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, because I believe everybody, if you're a good or a top pro, you find something to do to make that drive for you. But not everyone is that way. So if I were to say, and I don't necessarily say this, that I play better when I play with better people, cool. That might be 100% true for me.
I agree that you, first of all, you have to find a way to get your goat to get you fired up.
Yep.
To play better, good for you. And if that's playing with better people, playing with worse people, if that's internally...
Yeah, some people might say I play better with worse people because I feel more confident that I'm kicking their ass.
But my point is, 9 out of 10 players will say, I play better when I play with better people. And then let's just say every one of our pros says that. Let's just say they do.
Okay.
Or believe that. Then why do I see someone tank and shoot 12 strokes worse than the leader on the same card with them? Because you don't always do it, but everyone says that. That's I think the part that annoys me so much is that everyone says that and believes that, and the stats say otherwise. You don't always play better with that. That would indicate.
I don't think anyone says they always play better, but the word is I play better with better players. I don't think is necessarily the wrong thing to say. Now, if anytime you put a major extreme, I always or I never. It's that is hyperbolic, and no one is truly, you should not hold anyone to that. Just like it's kind of the way people say, I literally fell off my roof today. Like, no, you
probably
didn't,
really didn't.
You know,
no, like, literally is a little different, but about literal use.
Some people literally say literal all the time, Terry.
Oh, I know.
And it's not literal.
Don't think that I don't notice it.
So I believe what, you know, using the word always and never, it's the same as literal to me.
I will circle back with one Chuck Kennedy, who I had this discussion with a few years ago, where he essentially proved that that's not the case.
And that might, statistically, it might not be the case. You're right.
But the funny part is how many people believe it and utter it and say it. And here's where now I'm thinking back, where this stemmed from is the major discussions that took place regarding feature cards.
Correct.
And things of that nature, and people talking about competitive advantages or not with feature cards. And thankfully that ship has largely sailed, even though I know that argument will get dredged up on any given day, every single year till the end of time. But that's where this stemmed from, is the conversation about people feeling the advantage of feature cards. And I remember Chuck running the numbers and us having a very frank conversation about, like, it's not what so many people think it is, but it's funny that so many people claim that, well, I always play better when I play with other players, or I play better when I play with better players. That also gives you almost some indication, like the trajectory of your rating would be nothing but an incline.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you extrapolate that out and really think about it, I play better when I play with better players. Well, you're always playing with better players in some capacity because you're getting better, so you should be playing with better players. There's people that have sucked for 20 years.
Yeah. Us.
Yeah, I'm going to move on, but
I understand
think back for a moment when you've said that as a viewer, as a listener, and you've thought about it that or you've believed in that and uttered it, and then like really think about if that's what you do. Or are you just more excited to play with better players? Or are you, or is there something else you're attributing this to, or you're looking like something else to latch onto? But if you play better with better players, in theory, your trajectory of your rating and your golf success
not necessarily
should largely be going up.
Not necessarily.
Almost indefinitely.
No. I think you're looking at it wrong in that you think that people are going to progressively get better versus there is a ceiling and a floor. I play my best golf when I play with better players versus when I play with if I'm a pro player and I'm playing with Rec 2, I maybe don't play my best golf because of whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're always playing better, but maybe your cap is 10-20. I play a lot of 10-20 golf when I play with good players, as opposed to my 980 golf that I play when I have to play with the Recs. So you don't necessarily always continue to get better, but playing better golf might be how you feel. Because maybe you...
How you feel.
I've said, you're mentally weak if that's your case.
I agree.
If you have a problem playing with other players who don't play as well as you and you can't perform, then you
shouldn't plan on winning any tournaments. Because your theory, you're going to be better than them all the time.
That too. You have a mental weakness you need to address on the course. If you think that playing with people who are not as good as you or significantly worse harms your game, because it shouldn't. In theory, you should walk up to every shot and execute. And it shouldn't matter whether that was 5 minutes between throws or 1 minute between throws. If it's 1 minute, you've probably hit a lot of trees. So anyway, we'll drop that. It's an old comment. We haven't rehashed that in like a year or two.
Hazy Dude says, it's funny that people think feature cards play better than someone on day two from the 10th card shoots a course record. Mm-hmm. All right. Coffee says, I've just accepted that I'll never be a touring pro and should just prep my girls for Junior Worlds. That's also a very astute observation. And if numbers serve us right, yeah, it's probably your better bet. If you just look at the numbers, there can only be so many world champions, right? And it may not be in the cards for you unless you just play with better players all the time.
I'm still holding out. I might be a touring pro.
Yeah. The Masters Tour. You're waiting to hear what Cali's plans are.
That's right. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at that MA60.
Oh, wow. That's a ways off.
Well, listen, you didn't say when.
I just feel like if Cali's plans are big enough for next year's Masters Tour,
I got a lot of
and the purses are guaranteed enough, could we see you hit the road?
Depends how deep they're paying. Because I think Cali would have to be
running something more lucrative than a winning lottery weekly to be deep enough for you to be there.
Again, I'm not going to lie. We played this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and after my second hole, or after my second throw, I was like, ooh, my elbow's sore.
You're ready for the tour.
I ain't fooling myself. Sore elbow tour. I have got to get something looked at.
How does Schwebby keep doing it? He keeps winning.
He's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to go about it.
Just get good. As the kids say, get good.
Unrelated, of course. Cold Turkey registration's open. You'll hear me plug it at least for a couple more weeks or until it fills. But Cold Turkey is taking place the 2 days after Thanksgiving. All advanced divisions and all pros play on Saturday, November 25th. All other divisions play on Sunday. Overall, it's more than halfway full. There's 144 total spots for the 2 days. As I just mentioned, they're split up. I know it's already half filled. It was registration open last night.
Or is it half empty?
No, it's more than half filled. So it's less than half empty.
Depends how you look at it.
Yes, I want to welcome everyone. I know we have a lot of regional listeners as well. Hopefully you saw Cold Turkey is now available for everyone's fun and registration needs. And if you can't dedicate all day Saturday or all day Sunday to come play, I'm going to again bring back the Cold Turkey Flex Start, where you play two rounds of nine at the Red Fox course. So that you could come get in like an hour and a half or 2 hours or less. And then your day's complete there too. And that's also a pretty good bang for your buck. So Cold Turkey, all on Disc Golf Scene.
Yay.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/SmashboxTV, where we give away a prize every single week to our Patreon supporters. If you would like to be a Patreon supporter, it's as little as $1 a month. That's $12 a year. That is some phenomenal, phenomenal value.
It is.
You so can good. Support Smashbox TV. Without our supporters, it would be a lot more difficult for us to keep doing this podcast week after week after week. I just get sick of Terry. I need to be paid to be around Terry Miller. So thank you very much to our Patreon supporters. We have 132 people eligible for our giveaway this week, just like last week. Are we just going to give away a disc this week?
I've got some stuff. And our winner from last week, I sent him an email because we didn't have his address.
Nope.
I sent him an email and he said, hey, I don't think I received a Patreon disc, even though he's eligible for it. And that goes hand in hand with the fact that we don't have his email or his mailing address. So I'm going to make good on that as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Clearly when we
tell him to go into.
Exactly. Put it out there and said, hey, especially if you're at that $3 level or above and you are entitled to a Patreon disc, please make sure you update your Patreon account just to give us your address. That way we can guarantee that you're going to get the Patreon disc when it becomes available and we release it and send it out to you for free. So he said he hadn't received one, and I'm like, oh, well, this is all adding up. You didn't receive one because we don't have your address.
And I'm looking right now, even though he is at the level
for receiving a free disc,
he is signed up for a different different tier, which is probably why he somehow accidentally got filtered out. He signed up for just the early access and giveaways. Mm. And even though he has set the $3 level, I thought I was able to filter that so it's proper, but clearly not. So
Johnny effed up is what
Joseph
we're saying.
Thomas. In fact, Joseph Culp as well. Please go ahead and make sure your address is in there. Any other ones? We've got Tumo doesn't have his in there. Eli Bowman, please put your address in if you're listening to this. Thank you. Those guys are the ones all at the $3 and above.
Make sure that
level.
You're getting what's getting good for you.
Make sure we have your address so we can send that to you. But anyway, now I just resorted it. I had it sorted by first name, but now I sorted it by
I like it.
By Patreon amount you're giving.
By how much you're our favorite.
Yep.
All right. I think the very first number you pull is our winner tonight.
Our very first number. All right. So we're going to do our very first number right here. Between 1 and 132, our very first number is 26, so it's going to be one of our lower Patreon givers.
We spread the love.
We do. We don't just give away to the big boys. We give away to the little boys and girls, too. So 26, that is Roger Shaw. Congratulations, Roger Shaw. You are a dollar Patreon. You've been a Patreon supporter for quite a while, Roger, since 2019.
Oh, pre-COVID.
So thank you, Roger. We'll reach out to you. Terry will get your address and whatnot.
Yeah, we don't have it in there. Nope.
No, he's only a dollar.
Well, he could still have it in there.
He could put it in there. You're right, but he hasn't.
Yeah, that's a pro tip. Let me touch on this quickly. $3 and above, you're eligible and you're entitled to the free Smashbox TV Patreon exclusive disc every year at $3 and above. If you really want to make our jobs easier and have a better chance of your disc not only arriving, but arriving earlier, update your Patreon and give us your address anyway. I swear we're not selling it to anyone. There's no one that wants us to sell it to them. But update us with your address. Put it in Patreon. It only gets used in order to send you free stuff. So that's the best reason to have your address in there. And I know it may not require it of you at the $1 level, but if you are at that level, and because otherwise what that does is then I have to send you an email. Hopefully it doesn't get spammed, marked, and then you have to send me an email back saying for sure what your address is. And it prolongs everything. If we just had your address, I just blindly send it right out to you.
I mark all your emails as spam, so don't worry, Terry.
Good call. That's how you should do it. Anyway. All right. Is there anything else we need to cover here tonight? Roger's the winner. I like it.
Yeah, congratulations, Roger.
Thank you so much.
Ray asks, how much money are you getting on the podcast ads, Johnny? I always download both shows each week and to give you a listen. It's not a lot. I'm not going to lie. I'd have to take a look at what at our most recent stuff. It's literally...
less than the gas it cost me to drive over to Johnny's house.
It's probably true.
So
yeah, I would have to look for sure.
Oh, we need a gas fund.
Yeah,
to drive over here.
I wonder why it doesn't have August in there.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Give me that money.
In September, we made $1,400 SEK. S-E-K.
Is that Swedish kroners?
Swedish kroners, yeah.
Because that's where the company's based
out of? That's where the company's based
out of. Or are you hiding it in some other bank account?
Not going to lie. I might be hiding it in another bank account. No, I was kidding. So if we go 1,400 Swedish kroner, that was $126.
Disc golf rich. Sweet. We're loaded.
Yeah.
I was going to say, don't spend it all in one spot.
We're open here. We tell you stuff. Tell you how much Swedish kroner we make.
It's too much. All right, guys. I think we are going to call it. We do appreciate you guys for joining us. We appreciate the guys from UDisc who are here in our regular show. As we said, we'll have Kelly on at some point, talk a little bit Disc Golf Masters, maybe not just the 2023 season, but likely we'll get a little snapshot or insight into 2024. I'm sure we're going to see some shaking and moving in terms of sponsorships, along with some announcements regarding the European Tour and other golf internationally, and some big announcement next week. Guys, we thank you for joining us. All of our favorite smashies out there, those that chime in on the board and those that just come along for the listen and chuckle or yell at us one way or another with your...
They're both right.
The question is, do you get some kind of exemption if you're listening to Smashbox podcast in your earbuds while playing? That.
Well, yeah, you're allowed.
That. We've got pull at the PDGA. We make that the only exemption.
In fact, when you get on the first tee, they just hand you a podcaster with just Smashbox in it. Each
like,
podcast.
This should calm you down for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, I would say, and each podcast lasts about the length of a tournament round.
Perfect.
So. We're set. Perfect. That's what we're here for.
Thank you to all our supporters in any capacity. Anytime you do listen or download any of the podcasts, please go ahead and give it a 5-star rating or whatever on your podcast app. That obviously helps as well with a little bit of exposure. And we need all the exposure we can get. For Johnny, I'm the Disc Golf Guy. That's podcast 477's After Show. We'll see you next week on Halloween night when you step inside the Smashbox.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.